Welcome to Career Cheat Code. In this podcast, you'll hear how everyday people impact the world through their careers. Learn about their journey, career hacks, and obstacles along the way. Whether you're already having the impact you want or are searching for it, this is the podcast for you. On today's episode, we share part one of someone who wanted to be a corporate lawyer, and one Facebook message changed his entire trajectory to being in the fashion industry for almost a decade. Let's start the week with Gianni Garcia. All right, Gianni, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm super excited about this.
Very glad we were able to connect and actually make this happen. I know you have a really busy schedule and running around and making things happen, but I'm glad we're able to connect and you know, get it done for the people.
Likewise, man. Been wanting to be featured on this podcast since it was the last name or the original name. But I'm feeling the new name. So, you know, it is what it is. We hear new things, new year. You know, it hasn't started great, but, you know, we're going to make it do what it do and make the best of it however we can.
Absolutely. I love it. And thanks. You know, we have a name here and we're trying to give people information. That's what it's about.
Yep. I love what you're doing. And I'm super excited that you're doing this, you know, for our community. It really helps people out. You know, as we briefly spoken about in the past, it's just, we're not really brought up, you know, learning the kind of things that you're teaching to the masses, a cool kind of innovative way of, you know, having a podcast catering to, you know, a younger clientele that, again, we weren't brought up learning the things that we know now, speaking about, you know, careers, career paths, salaries, things of that nature. So I really feel like this is so informative for people. It gives people a good grasp of what range they're going to be in, what they want to do for a living, you know, what to kind of expect. And yeah, I feel like you're the first to ever do it for our community. So this is something that's pretty major and I'm excited to be a part of for sure.
Much appreciated. I really hope I'm not the first. I really hope there are others out there that we just haven't connected with yet.
True.
But let's make it happen, man.
Let's hope that. But if not, then you could be the trailblazer. And we're okay with that.
Let's do it. So let's dive right in, man. Let's tell the world what it is you do for a living.
So I guess I'm a fashion professional. My background is in fashion, but I've also dabbled into the beauty industry as well. Worked corporate fashion, everything from wholesale to buying and merchandising, and now to my latest role, marketing, beauty marketing. So yeah, it's been quite the journey so far. And it's been, you know, 7 years that I have in the industry. I kind of came in the industry by mistake. And it's like, you know what? I was like, okay, do I want to stay here? Do I want to continue to grow within it? And, you know, the goal was always to have, you know, my own fashion line, which is still pretty much my goal. But, you know, things got a little diverted to the left. And I'm happy that they did, because I wouldn't know not even a fraction of the things that I've learned along the way that are necessary and are going to help me, you know, avoid so, so many mistakes when I'm ready to take that next step and start my own thing. On top of that, top of a full-time corporate America job, I'm also a fashion blogger on the side.
Started you are.
Instagram page. Yeah, you know, I'm excited. This is my second year with this blog. It's been quite the journey as well. I mean, I know how to grow a page. I had a page before this and it didn't really work out. It was inspo, but I got hacked. I was kind of, you know, not motivated to start this new page up. And my friends were like, no, this is what you got to do. You got to do this. Like, this is your calling. You're so good at this. Like, come on. You got this. So I was like, all right. Put the battery in my back. And here we are 2 years later, growing very quickly, faster than I can even grasp my head around. And it's been a fun journey, but it's been a lot of work, especially with a full-time job. It's like, you almost feel like you have two full-time jobs instead of, like, I never call the fashion blog a side hustle, because it really is not a side hustle at all. It's so much work. And a lot of people, you know, they just see the dope photos and the beautiful editing and the outfits that you piece together, but so, so much goes into it. I mean, we'll get into that later, but it's a lot.
Awesome. Thank you. So that's a lot there. Clearly you're staying busy. Let's talk about the corporate side of things first, and then we'll come back to the fashion blogging, because both are equally as important to your journey and information that we would definitely want to get out there. So in your corporate career path, is that something that you felt like you always wanted to do when you were younger?
No, actually, it's so funny because my degree is in political science. Like, I really thought I wanted to be a lawyer for a very long time. You know, it's a passion of mine. I love even the public service industry overall. I love politics as well, and I follow it still. It's like a hobby. Everything from all politicians to election day to keeping myself up to date on what's going on and, you know, all the new legislators and legislative, all the new bills, things of that nature. I always kind of like deep dive, and it takes me back into my college days to kind of look at the language, see what's going on, see what is being offered, you know, looking at the difference, especially at a time like right now. You know, obviously, you know, we're going through a pandemic globally, not only just here, but New York has been hit so hard in this situation. And I feel like everything that's been going on with unemployment, with rights, with almost everything, healthcare, it all ties into, like, you know, one universal theme of our government and kind of like our values. And this is, while I understand that America is known as the land of the free, I also feel like there's so many other things that are involved with that. There's like the government is so complex, and I feel like I really learned about that in college that I had no idea about, and I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed my classes, and I specifically loved business law. So I was really going to go into corporate law. That was always where my head was at.
And where'd you end up going to school?
To University of Albany.
Got it.
Okay. Yep. UA. Like, my, you know, that's my school right there. The four best years of my life. I'll give anything to go back. I had so much fun there.
So give me a second, though. So corporate law, though, did that stem from like childhood years, high school? Or was that just as you're getting to college and you're pretty much forced to pick a major or somewhere in your first 2 years, you landed there? Or how did, like, was that something that was building within you for a long time?
I feel like it wasn't always, but kind of. Like, I always had it in the back of my mind. And then, like you said, when you do have to pick a major after 2 years, I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Like, you know what I mean? There's so many options, and marketing kind of came across my mind, but I was like, not really my thing. You know, I was like, all right, maybe I'll do an English major, because I know that people, a lot of lawyers do English as a major. But then I was like, nah, Albany, the reason why I transferred to that school, because I actually went to SUNY Farmingdale in the beginning for the first year and a half of college. And I lived in Long Island for a semester, and I hated it. Me and all my friends went there. It was like six of us, and we're just, you know, young and stupid. So we're all like, yeah, let's all go to the same school. And we're like, all right, whichever one we all get accepted to is where we're all going. And we did that.
That's how one should decide their future.
Literally, that's how one should decide college. But yeah, we went there. We lived there for a semester. We all hated it. Literally all six of us moved off after one semester. Some even transferred to schools in the city, but I didn't want to transfer to a school in the city because I knew, like, if I transferred to a school in the city, I wouldn't ever go back away. You know, I'll get caught up in the life of working and being in the city life. And I really wanted to experience that going away to college life, because my sister, my older sister, had it. She's 2 years older than me. So I was going to visit her. She went to New Paltz upstate. And I was going to the parties, you know, going for the weekend. Even me and my high school friends, you know, we had all her friends' IDs. We're like in there. And it opened my eyes to a whole new world. And I was like, oh my God, this is popping. Like, I want this. So after that, I applied to transfers to three schools, to Binghamton, where my cousin went. And I always used to go visit her too. New Paltz, where my sister went. And then Albany, which is where I really kind of wanted to go to, because I felt like, one, they had a great poli-sci program, and I knew I wanted to do that at that point. Also a great internship with the state senate. And then two, I was like, oh, you know, I already have a cousin in Bing. I have, you know, my sister in New Paltz. I should go to Albany so that we could be kind of like a trifecta, you know? And that was my reasoning behind it. So we transferred there, and I didn't know I always wanted to do law, but I know I wanted to do a long side poli sci. So then I got into it, into the program there. I ended up really loving it. And I loved my classes, my teachers. I did really well in my major classes, more so than, you know, my regular classes that you have to take. I always did better in my major classes because I guess I was enjoying them more. They were about something that I wanted to really learn about. And then after I graduated...
Wait, did you end up being able to do some of those internships that you were originally attracted to there?
Yes. I did a 3-week internship at the State Center, which was bomb. I learned so much there. It's in the capital of New York, which is Albany. I mean, Albany is like the hood, though. Like, don't get it twisted. They have that good, that separate section of like students and all that stuff. But then they have like, it's like almost like stepping into a time zone. You feel like you're in an old world, like New York City in the 90s almost. And I was just like, wow, this is very weird. And me, you know, living at home my entire life and being a city kid, that was something that I wasn't really used to. But it was kind of cool to, you know, dress up for those 3 weeks and see how the Senate runs and do their basically bitch work. But, you know, you're there, you're still learning and you're excited, you're young, you're ready for, you know, a new opportunity. And you're like, wow, do I really want to do this? And then I saw myself and I was like, I don't really want to do this exactly, because I saw that it was like, nah, it's a lot of administrative work. It's a lot of paperwork. It's like you're drowning in like admin work. So then that was where I started kind of honing my major and really going into like, what is it that I want to do? So I was like, all right, I really like the law aspect of it all. And it was a business law class that really captured me in that moment where I was like, all right, this is my favorite class by far. Like, I like what I'm learning. I want to go into corporate law. I knew that I always wanted to do fashion. So in my mind, I was like, I could work for a huge fashion corporation and do corporate law for them. So I was always in or around wanting to be in fashion, but I was like trying to mend both of my passions into one, if you say.
That's awesome. Okay, so then you get to senior year and mm-hmm. you're about to graduate, and therefore you come out and you immediately start applying to law schools and becoming a lawyer and live happily ever after? Or what happens there?
I wish. No, it was not that easy. You know, you graduate and then you move back to the city and reality sets in after being in a bubble for 4 years. And actually, I was in college for 5 years because I took a year off. I had to take a year off because of student loan drama and finances within the school. And, you know, they didn't put through my FAFSA for a semester. So I had to take a year off, work, pay off that semester so that I could go back. And that's what I had to do. I stayed up there, though, to work, because I felt like if I came back to the city, I would never go back. So I stayed up there, worked there. Actually, my boys and all my friends, they actually stayed an extra year just because we were having so much fun that they picked up like another minor just to stay with me, too. So I appreciate them as well, because they were a huge part of my journey also. And I know that they wouldn't normally do that for a lot of people. So, you know, and those are some of my best friends and my brothers that I still, you know, consider them that close to this day.
That's awesome. And I do appreciate you sharing that part, right? Because I think we like to normally look at things as a linear progression.
Right.
And you go to high school for 4 years and you go to college for 4 years, then right, you graduate, right. Then you get your job, blah, blah, blah. But that's not always the case, right? Like, we have a lot of alternate routes that lead us to our destination.
And that's, go ahead.
No. And I just appreciate you being honest about it and being willing to share that, right? Like, a lot of people may not be so forthcoming with sharing things like that. And I appreciate it, because I think that's exactly the point of all of this,
right?
Is for people to look at it. Maybe there are listeners right now that are thinking about taking a semester off and have some fears around that, right? Or had to take a semester off for whatever reasons, for family reasons, financial reasons. And, you know, are really questioning whether they can actually continue to proceed along that journey. And we have someone here that was able to manage that and make that happen.
Thank you, first and foremost. But I did want to, you know, make sure to say that, just because, again, like you said it best, everyone's path is different. And I also feel like it takes a stronger person, in my opinion, to, you know, kind of realize certain things that are out of their control and that they can't do anything about, and make something of that, you know what I mean? And change that narrative, you know? Maybe there is a roadblock in your path that is put in front of you, but, you know, I think that it's very easy for you to say, all right, I'm done here, I'm gonna go back to the city, and then it could have easily turned into, I'm going back to the city, half your credits don't transfer, you don't end up getting your degree, or you have to do an extra 2 years instead of an extra year, just because of all of, you know, the confusion and the logistics of things. So I do think that there are so many roadblocks put in our paths as people of color, not even just Latinos, just people in color in general. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're not really taught to break through that, you know, so much as everyone else is. And I feel like you got to keep going, because you know what? A lot of those roadblocks aren't put in people who are not of color's paths. You know what I mean? A lot of the times it's like your parents are paying your full 4 years. You know what I mean? And it's like, all right, there's no confusion with finances or with your FAFSA because your 4 years are paid for. Like, no, for us, we have to pay for them. And for the reality of a lot of people, you know, a lot of Americans are in student loan debt, you know, substantially. So they are paying their ways. And, you know, things do come up. And I feel like it's important that even though if they do come up, if you're focused on something and you have a goal that you want to achieve, you're going to make it happen regardless. And I think that you should, you know, try to make it happen by any means. If it's that you can't, then I, you know, also completely understand. But my mindset at that age was like, all right, if I can't, then I can't at whatever point, but if I can, or at least I'm going to try until I know that I can't, you know? And I feel like I've kind of adapted that mentality throughout. And it's helped me so much, like even throughout my career, because it's like when you have that mindset of thinking, it's like there's almost nothing that you can't do. You know what I mean? Because it's like, all right, things are going to be thrown at you and you're just going to keep getting past it. And it's like you're frustrated because it keeps happening. And I'm just like, at the time, I was just like, damn, why me? Like, out of all my friends, I'm like, you know, it had to be, not even all my friends, out of everybody that I know, out of anybody in this college or in any college, like, why do I have to go through this? And at the time, it's a tough realization, but you know what? You get through it. And I swear to you, that year flew by so fast. And I had like a little BS part-time job at Sunglass Hut in the mall. And it was like, yo, I was getting paid to basically do nothing. I didn't have to fold clothes. I just had to freaking count some shades that were in the case. And I was just like, this is like, I'm chilling. You know what I mean? I'm up here at my friends. I'm having a good time. I'm young. You know what I mean? I'm just like, it was a good time. And I felt like make the best out of it. In the beginning, you know, you're super sad. You're like, damn, I have to do this. I'm not going to graduate with all my friends and blah, blah, blah. But then I graduated with other of my friends that I became, you know, that were still in my same group of people. They were just younger than I was. But then all my friends ended up coming up, you know what I mean? Like who were just there from my graduation. You know, it was like, it was a dope experience regardless. And I really emphasize the support system too. And I advise everyone. So, you know, the listeners, I guess the young listeners, or if you have like younger brothers or siblings or cousins, family members, friends, to encourage everyone to go away to school, because you literally get that sense of community. And I've made lifelong friends that have pretty much, to me, I see them in the eyes of family at this point. They were my support system when I was there. I was a support system for them when we were there. And that really is the game changer in it all.
Got it. That's great. Okay. So appreciate that. And I really appreciate you sharing that, because I think that's, again, like that's part of your journey and that's part of the story. And I hope that someone takes something away from that. So I appreciate it. Great. So you graduate. What are you doing?
So I graduate. I'm back in the city, out of my little bubble, which was college. Everything is provided for you, your meals, this, that, and the third. I mean, I grew up a lot up there for sure. It's where I became basically a man. But then you come back and then you got to move back home. And you're like, damn, I got to come back home. I'm back in mom's crib. It's a different, I'm in the big city. I was like, how could you afford to live in New York without working? You know what I mean? But you're now competing against everyone who graduates. It's May. And it's like, there was absolutely no jobs. And I was using every which way from my whatever connections I had at the state office in Albany to kind of leverage that and get something here in the city, whether it's even, you know, at a law firm doing admin, even freaking front desk. Like, I was applying to anything and everything just to kind of get my foot in the door, and nothing was really biting. I was having a hard time finding a job. I want to say it was like, I graduated May. It was like mid-June. And a buddy of mine who started his own, I went to high school with him, hit me up. And he was like, hey, you know, I know you just graduated. I think he hit me up via Facebook, which is, man, I'm old. Yeah. Man,
he didn't write you a snail letter.
I know. That's true. Facebook. That's true. You're right. You're right. I don't think Instagram was not a thing yet. But yeah, he hit me and he was like, so you just graduated. I started my own swimwear company. You've always kind of been a fashionable guy, because that's another thing too. Like, my fashion, I guess, evolution has been so different. It's like, I was in high school, and when I first went into high school, I was wearing Air Force Ones, Jabro jeans, Rockaware was like my shit. It was like Sean John. So I always felt like I was like elevated, you know. I was never wearing like Paco, Pepe, shit like that. Like, I was always like, all right, I'm doing, you know, Macy's. And I thought that that was the hottest shit at the time, you know, whereas like my friends were just wearing a white tee from the spot, you know. I was just like, nah, this is a white tee, but this is Sean John. You know what I mean? This is Rockaware. This is all the hip hop labels.
God, for the record, I definitely had my $6 white tees and was crushing
a lot. Yo, I'm telling you, I don't judge. All my friends did. I didn't look at them any different. They wore it. I mean, so one of my friends we used to make fun of because his tees just used to get longer by the minute. And I'm like, bro, every time you buy a new one, it gets longer than the last one. And I'm confused as to what's going on, bro. Like, it's, yeah, you're borderline a dress right here, you know? But then I don't know what happened. I want to say it was like junior year in high school, and my style kind of had like a shift. And I went from very hip hop of what I consider very hip hop to like, I guess, hicked out, as I would say. And that was like a Diesel era, and Diesel had its time. So I was like buying all the Diesel sneakers, and I had my little part-time job. I was working at an after-school program at Columbia University, and I was getting paid very well for that time frame, you know.
So I'm from New York City, so I understand when you say that, but I feel like there may be folks that don't really understand what you just said. So I feel like, so you went from like the baggier clothes that we would see on TV to some more of like the tighter fitted clothes, and changing your style and your wardrobe in high school.
Yes, it was almost like a revolution. It happened like, in my eyes, almost overnight. It was like I went from super baggy clothes that definitely did not fit me at all. Like, at all. I got everything maybe 2-3 times the size of what I actually probably was, to started shifting, I guess, slowly. And at the time, our things were like teen nights, you know, things of that nature. So we would go out to the nightclubs, and they would offer like a special quarterly party for teenagers where they're not selling alcohol. You had to pay a fee, and I knew all the promoters. So I would go to these teen nights, and the party would be only until like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, as opposed to 4 or 5 o'clock back in the day. And you had to dress up for them. So for a lot of them that I went to at Copacabana, at Jimmy's Bronx Cafe, like all of these kind of teen bashes were a little bit dressier, and they wanted, you know, a different kind of crowd. They didn't want just any kind of crowd. So I couldn't wear the hip hop street clothes that I would wear to school to those teen nights. So I started buying clothes to go out to those teen nights. And I guess that style kind of stuck with me. So I was like, all right, I don't want to wear shoes, because shoes at the time hurt my feet, and I was young, and I was like, nah, I'm not doing the dressy shoes. And I just felt like that was just a little too Spanish for me, you know, the jeans with the super dressy shoes and the tight tucked in button down with the belt showing, like that was a little much. And I was like, I need something in between. And then that was when like the Diesel sneakers really popped off. So it was like the Diesel sneakers were like in between sneakers, but with like a shoe vibe. And
I mean, and clearly your classmates were noticing this, right? Like you were like,
yeah,
changing your wardrobe, and clearly had an impression on people where years later, they're still recalling that and saying, you've always had this sense that you were either ahead of the curve of your other classmates, right, or just straying in different directions than, you know, most of us were at that age.
Exactly. And I got made fun of a lot for it. You know, it was just like my boys didn't understand why I was wearing all of a sudden tighter jeans or more fitted jeans. They weren't tight. Well, yeah, no, they were tight. but, a more fitted kind of way. And I was moving into like that Armani Exchange, you know, kind of vibe, rocking with Levi's and things, Diesel jeans too. It was just like a different era. So yeah, so he hit me up and he was like, you know, I remember you always kind of being a fashionable guy. I started my own fashion label. It's a luxury swimwear brand. We're looking for an intern. If you're open to it, I would love to have you come into the office and see if this is something that you would want to be a part of. So I was like, oh my God, yes, absolutely. Why not? So I went in, met with his operations director at the time. She ended up loving me. I'm still really good friends with her because she's really the one who, she was a huge factor in making my career. And having mentors like that is another very key thing that I want people to know. And when people take you under your wing and you make these connections with these people, they're so genuine and they genuinely want to help you out. And when I left there, and we'll get into this later on, but you know, I really was just like, you don't know how you shaped my career, because this is something that I could never really repay you for, and you didn't have to do. But yeah, I met with her. She loved me. She's like, yeah, you know, we're looking for an intern. And she told him, like, you know, I think G would be great for this. He's like very motivated. He's eager to learn. And I was young. I was fresh out of college. I was eager to learn about the industry because I knew that eventually I was going to want to be in the fashion industry. So I was like, all right, if I could get a head start, at least while I'm applying, that was my mindset. Like, I'm still applying to, you know, the law firms and all of like entry level government jobs overall. And I was like, all right, you know, I'm still going to be applying to those jobs. But, you know, in the meantime, let me do this. And it was a paid internship, which was even better. So they made it very hard for me to say no. And they offered it to me. I said yes. And I spent the summer working there and being an intern, that intern life, which is not easy in fashion, let me tell you.
So you did that. What were you actually doing there?
So before you start, right, you think, oh, this is like fashion industry. This is so cool. You're going to be like exclusive, you know, it's like super glamorous, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. I got there and it was like legit a reality check like this. It was like, all right, you're rolling racks, you're packing clothes, you're building boxes, you're packing e-commerce orders. And at the time, the internet wasn't even a huge thing. So it was like there were not really like websites where you could shop at the time, you know?
What year was this?
Something new. This was 2011. You know, this was like the beginning of like people shopping online, but it still was nowhere near what it is now at all. And it's still even like, you know, there's still a lot of people who still like the brick and mortar experience of shopping in stores. Like that is what they like and that's what they're used to. But there is also that huge demographic and, you know, a younger age group that loves to shop online. But yeah, it was like packing orders, packing boxes, making sure that everything got to wherever it needed to be on time and safely and away from trade shows that they were doing in New York, Miami, Las Vegas. I wouldn't get to go to them, but I would have to pack everything for them, make sure, you know, I had like a system going and I would have, you know, a line sheet and I would see how do they develop a line sheet. I didn't even know what a line sheet was at the time. And line sheet is basically just the collection in like book form. So you got like almost like a booklet, and it tells you the breakdown of each item that's in the collection, the wholesale retail price, the materials that it's made out of, the different dimensions of, you know, whether it's the inseam of a pant or the sizes of the waist that it comes in, if it's a drawstring, if it's a button front, things of that nature. I was in swimwear, so it would be like if it's lined, if it's unlined. There's a lot of people who look at those things when they're shopping.
Okay.
And at the time, I didn't know that there was an audience for it, because these swimsuits were like $150 to $200 for a swim trunk. And I'm like, what? Who's buying this? I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm like, I used to think like Quicksilver and Billabong was expensive at $48, $50. And it's like, here they are, you know, buying these. And it was doing so well for him. And it was awesome to kind of be there and spend the summer. Because also as an intern, like, you almost wear so many hats. So I was working with operations, the operations director, learning the back end things, finances, how the company operates, what they're expecting from like e-commerce, how to pack e-commerce, customer service, how to answer those inquiries. Then I got really cool with the art director there, and he was like building CADs for future designs and things of that nature. And I was like, wow, that's super cool. And then I was working closely with the sales director, and he was the wholesale director. And he's just like telling me, like, he's working with all these buyers at like Saks and Barney's and Bloomingdale's. And I'm just like, this is so cool. And nothing of what I expected it would be. They gifted me so many swim trunks, which I'm forever grateful for, because they really are the best.
That's awesome.
No lie. But yeah, I learned so much from maintaining the showroom to every aspect of to production, working with my friend who actually founded the company. He also runs the production, and working with textiles and feeling mm-hmm. different fabrics and seeing what he gravitates towards and his mind frame of thinking. So that was a huge opportunity for me.
How big was the company at that time?
It was 6 people.
Including you, the intern, or?
Yeah, including me, the intern.
And, you know, I think that's great that you were thoughtful enough to want to learn from everyone during an internship, right? When it's like you were probably just tasked with pushing the racks and laying things out and right. things of that nature. But to say, let me see what everyone else is working on and really learn from that, I think is key, right? And it helps you plan for your future and
right.
leave that place with skill sets that you would otherwise not have by basis of your job description.
Absolutely. Like, I couldn't have said it better myself. I would absolutely recommend an internship to everybody for that sole purpose of you wanting to find out how that is going to shape your future. Because even though I knew in my head that I wanted to be in fashion, I didn't know what type of fashion I wanted to be in, to be honest. And I felt like getting the exposure and seeing what each, you know, person does there, and at a startup at that, like, think about it. I'm like, okay, I want my own brand at some point in time. There's no better experience that I could get than someone who's literally starting from the ground up. So I feel like that was the experience there was invaluable, really. Like, it was just insane.
How long were you there for as an intern?
As an intern, I was there for 3 months. So and for then? The summer, I think 3.5 months. And then at the end of the summer, they offered me a position and I was super excited. I was like, yes, I worked my ass off. And they saw it and they, you know, noticed it. And they were super excited to bring me on board. Super small company at that time. So they're like, you know, we can't give you, I guess, a variety of different offers. We can only offer you for what we're looking for. And what they were looking for at the time was a wholesale assistant. And I was more than fine with that. I felt like you need to have a certain personality to be in sales, and you need to be a people's person and want to build relationships with these people, with your accounts and your clients, like all of your buyers. You want to build this kind of relationship with them and this rapport so that your orders continue to increase. And it's a different working relationship. Dollars open up for a buyer. And they really mess with me. Like, they're going to be like, oh, okay, I have X amount of swim dollars opening up. I'm going to give it to Gianni because I like working with him so much. He ensures that my deliveries are on time. He makes sure that he's following my business. He's analyzing sales reports and with me and letting me know, like, hey, this was sold out at your store. Like, you need more of this. Like, this is doing well. This is not doing so well. Maybe we should switch it out for something that's working for you. You know, having that like flexibility with your buyer is everything, because then the minute that they get a larger budget, they're giving it to you. They don't want to give it to somebody whose orders are always late, are not flexible. They're like, well, you stuck with it. If it doesn't work for you, too bad. Like, you know what I mean? They don't want to work with people like that. And I very much wanted to get in the front of it all. And that's sales. For sales, you got to be the face. You know, you're basically the face of the brand. You're selling it to these stores, but you're also representing it. I would have to wear all the swim trunks for everything that I did, every appointment that I had. And there as an assistant, I was just assisting the sales director. And it was just more along the lines of all his tasks. And he had all the accounts. Mm-hmm. So it was just more along the lines of making sure that everything was done with that, analyzing sales reports that he would get from all the retailers and things of that nature.
So you went from getting this internship in the meantime so that you can focus on, one, getting some money on the side, and then two, right, still apply to other types of jobs, not in the fashion industry.
Right.
And
right,
here you are now accepting a role,
yeah,
to stay there. Did that time there help you shape your thought process in, hey, maybe I could build a career on this? Or was it still at that point, I just want a job for now and I'll figure out how to get into law and other things in the near future?
I think in the beginning, it was still like, hey, the money is not bad. I wasn't getting a commission at the time just because I was the assistant, but I was like, the money isn't bad. I really like the people who I work with and I have a super cool job. Like, I was like, I never thought that this would be this cool. And it really did feel like it was summer all year round because you're working in swimwear and you would get excited for summer. Just like, you know, we normally get excited for summer, but you would get even more excited because then it's like, oh, I know my sales are about to go up. And it was like just tracking the company and seeing their growth as a company too, and being a part of that was super exciting for me. And I felt like, all right, after like, I want to say 6 months in that role, I got another promotion. So I got a promotion to account executive. And there was when they really started trusting me with owning my own accounts. So I was the account executive for all specialty stores, which are just like mom and pop shops around the US. I think like if we're comparing it to Uptown or New York, think Probus. Probus is considered a specialty shop, whereas a major is considered Bloomingdale's and Barney's and Nordstrom and all of those, Saks. Mm. Those are all considered department stores. But I was, you know, responsible for the smaller boutiques and the hotel accounts, which were the stores inside of the lobby of the hotels. But they were split up by the hotel chain. So I had one buyer for like W Hotels. I had one buyer for the Four Seasons. I had, you know, one buyer for Rosewood Hotels, things of that nature.
So it was really your role to go out and build those relationships and get these hotels and these boutique stores or specialty stores to really start buying these swim trunks or the swimwear, yeah, and the products.
Right.
To sell within their retail spaces.
Exactly. So I was selling it wholesale to them and then they would buy it for their stores and sell it at retail. And that's where I learned also everything from emails, which literally changed the game. Like my first email that I probably sent out, like, I would look back at it, and if I was talking to, you know, the operations director now, we would both be laughing about it because she's like, this is terrible. Like, and she's like, but I got you. I'm going to show you. And it's like, after like my email game got on point, I was just like, oh, wow. Like, this is a whole new world. Just making sure that you get your message across, clear and concise points. It changed the game as like me thinking that I had an idea of what a good email would be. It was like, no, this is what it is. And it has taken me throughout my entire career, still to this day. It's like, you know, when I respond to whatever email, people are definitely impressed with the way that verbal and written communication is. And you can kind of tell because you're almost reading it out loud when you're reading an email, you know, almost in the person's voice if you've met them. If not, you're eager to want to meet them based on their email. So I feel like it contributed to so much. And it was still, again, like the digital space was not that big at this time. So a lot of it was me getting on the phone and cold calling all of my accounts like, hey, how is this performing? How is this doing? Are you interested in this? Like if I'm pitching a new account, there's a ton of people hanging up on me like, no, I don't want this. It was just nuts at the time. But yeah, it was something that is like you start to realize, okay, I could potentially do this forever. You know what I mean? Or not forever, but I saw,
as a career.
Yeah, it was like my vision of myself being in law or in politics or in the government started fading away. And I started putting more of my energy into the fashion aspect because I knew that that was always going to be the end goal. I mean, in my head, I was like, I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a corporate lawyer. I'm going to make the big bucks. I'm going to save for, you know, a few years. And I'm going to be able to open up my fashion line because I'm going to have so much money saved that I know I'm going to have the funds to do that. And it's like a battle in your head at this point. You know, this is my first job. I'm like, do I want to continue down this path or do I want to try the other path, my original path, which I felt like was a really good plan. Like, I still think like it's a good plan for anybody who wants to do it. But then you miss out on all of the experience that you got within the industry that literally no one can teach you. Like, you cannot come from being a lawyer and start your own fashion line and not make a million mistakes. And I feel like that's the main thing here, is that so many mistakes are now avoidable. Costly, very costly mistakes are avoidable because I have worked throughout the industry. You know what I mean? So now I know how things work. Whereas before, I would be coming in blindsided, basically. So I started thinking to myself, like, all right, I think that this is what I want. I need to learn more of it. And I, again, it was my first job. I was there for a total of 2 years. And I was like, all right, this is my first job. I really loved it, but I do want to learn more of this. So I've started, you know, looking more into fashion jobs as opposed to going back the law government route, which my family still to this day asks me, like my grandfather still thinks that I'm trying to pursue being a lawyer. I'm like, no, abuelo, that's not happening anymore at all. It's not an option.
It's awesome. It's kind of weird too, because like I feel like our family members always hold us to whatever we told them we wanted to be at one point in time, unless
they
like,
don't let it go.
You told me when you were 10 you were gonna go to the major leagues. I'm like,
what's going on with that?
It's dude, like, I haven't played baseball in 15 years. Like, what are you talking about? But I completely understand that.
Like all of my family in DR, every time I talk to them, they're like, oh, so are you a lawyer already? I'm like, no, and I'm never going to be. Like and they're like, what? That's what you went to school for. I'm like, it's different here in the US. You're not tied to a career just because your degree is in that. I guess it's also, you know, they're used to it being over there where everyone is like, okay, I'm going to be an engineer. I'm going to be a doctor. And they actually do what they go to school for. But it's a little bit more free here. And, you know, the US is, you have a little room, well, a lot of room to play with other things. To be completely honest, working in the fashion industry throughout my career, I know maybe a handful of people who studied fashion, because there are people from every background, from finance, started in psychology, started in marketing, and then now they're doing this, like, or their degree is in marketing or in business or in, it's insane. You know, I feel like nobody really does what they thought that they were going to do, because it was also, you were so young, you know what I mean? And you thought you wanted to do that, but things change when you're in the real world.
Okay. So walk me through that. So now you know the wholesaling part and you're somewhat sold, at least on the industry. You're like, all right, you know what? This fashion thing could work out. Walk me through what you end up doing next and what type of organization was it, right? Because you're coming from a place that when you started there were six people. When you left there, were there still only six, or had it grown at that point?
I think it was eight when I left. Now, okay,
so relatively 40. The same size. Great.
Now 40. So, you know, that's their expansion has been amazing. And even me, from a wholesale standpoint, I feel like even growing their business from what was in maybe the low to mid six figures to a multi-million dollar business is a huge accomplishment for me too. I was like, wow, I didn't even think that I could sell this much and this good. You know what I mean? Wow. So you start learning on your own and you start building that kind of confidence and you're like, oh, I got this, you know? So
that's a huge accomplishment to be able to do that. So kudos to you.
Yeah.
And to then be able to take that to propel you to your next, to the next phase of your journey.
So the next phase was really more in part because one, it was a promotion. It was, again, in swimwear, which, to be completely honest, I wasn't so excited about. I wasn't really excited about it being swimwear because I knew that I always, once I got in the fashion industry and I started loving fashion, I started creating like a passion for actual designers and their stories. And fashion speaks to me in a different way that it speaks to a lot of people. And I feel like that is also a huge part of my story and what I want to do as my end goal. But I knew that this was a better opportunity. It was a promotion to wholesale manager. And it was diving into not only the men's industry. So it was men's only at, you know, my first job. This second job, the level up, as you would say, is Insight. I would be overseeing both men's and women's. And I was like, wow, you know, women's in fashion makes up 70% of the industry. So I was super eager to get into that because I know that when I have my own, I'm going to be making garments for both men and women. You know what I mean? Like, that's just something that I am going to want to do. Although my true passion is in menswear, I do love fashion as a whole. So I don't want to neglect my, you know, women either, because I do love women's fashion too. And it's a huge world.
Much it's okay more to than learn.
Men. Yeah.
One, I think it's okay to learn how it all comes together and then apply it to what you want. And then two, it's okay to go and try something and then figure out whether you want to do it or not. Right. Like you took this internship not knowing you want to be in the fashion industry. And here we are.
So I'm like, now I'm just like entertaining offers. It was a smaller company, newer at the time. It was literally, we were a team of three, me included.
Wow.
Didn't even have a showroom space at all. My interview was at Soho House. And we worked out of Soho House for, I want to say, about 6 to 8 weeks, starting his business and diving into my connections there and all of my buyer contacts there. And because it was swimwear, it was super easy because everybody was the same. And he had a great product. He did. And he had a women's product. So a lot of the times, you know, my buyer would be like, yo, I would be blowing out if you guys had women's, but men's is so niche. You know what I mean? So they're like, I'm like, okay, now I have women's. And it's like, yeah. So then I was like, literally got his business off the ground. And it was just more responsibility overall. Instead of just seeing specialty stores and hotels, I was now seeing all majors. And I was in contact with those people, with the Barneys, the Bergdorf, the Saks, the Neiman Marcus, Nordstrom's of the world, Bloomingdale's. And I know that those stores can make or break your brand. So I wanted to know how to learn how to sell to them. Although I learned it in my previous job too, I wanted to know exactly what they were looking for and things of that nature. So I was super excited to be working with those accounts and for me to own those accounts, which is why I had the opportunity left to for the opportunity.
And that's great too, because I think at that point you're hired not only for your skill sets, but also for your contacts, right? Because they're looking to, of course, start things from the ground up. And you are someone that at that point comes with a lot of contacts that can help them do that. Then with the skill sets and expertise to say, okay, now you're going to have to tap into other stores and other brands that we don't have relationships with, that you don't have relationships with, but we know that you can do it. So it's a combination of both at that point, and you're able to bring all that to the table.
Right. And I felt like it was a lot. It was a lot of pressure on me. I mean, made so much money, like literally so much money there. It was insane because it went from like 0 to 60, and then you have these crazy celebrities wearing all of their stuff. And he was on like almost like the marketing move that people use now in today's day and age to send everything to like bloggers and influencers and things of that nature so they could post it. He was on it back in the day when there was no, again, Instagram. Like, actually, Instagram started when I was there. It was so funny. Oh. It started while I was there and they were growing their following. And then he started sending it to a bunch of people and a bunch of celebrities. And he was previously in entertainment. So everybody was wearing his stuff, from Taylor Swift to Beyonce to like, and everybody was photographed in it. It was insane. It was, and everything was just blowing up because these people have such an influence that the minute a celebrity puts it on and people know where it's from, it would sell out and it would be like the website would crash. And we're like, what is going on? And that was leverage for me. You know what I mean? As I'm selling it to the stores, I'm like, oh, you want this because Beyonce wore it. You know what I mean? Like, this is something that people know Beyonce wore and you're going to want to have it and it's going to sell out for you because people are going to walk into your store and they're going to be like, oh my God, isn't that the bathing suit that Taylor Swift posted on her Instagram? And Taylor Swift was at the time the most followed person on Instagram. So it's like, she's posting it and you're showing your product to an audience of over 100 million people or whatever, 50 million at the time. It's insane.
But it makes your job a lot easier, doesn't it?
Yes. So I wasn't there for that long. I was there for about a year and a half, I think, just because I was ready to move on from swimwear. And swimwear was something that I was like, okay, now I have about 3 years in the game working on in swimwear. And I loved it because, again, I felt like summer was all year round and it was such a fun product. It was easy, but it had its challenges because it was seasonal. It was a seasonal business. And my challenge at both companies were kind of, how do I make it a year-round business? And my tactic was like, all right, it's summer somewhere in the world. So if it's winter here, we're going to reach out to the other side of the world where it's summer and they're going to buy our stuff. And that's really how we grew so much. You know what I mean? And it was pretty insane how it was. It was like, it went so quickly. And then I was like, all right, we're going to start in the Caribbean. We're going to have some Spanish speaking countries and this, that, and a third. And then it's like, all right, we got this. So it started growing super fast. But I was ready to get into something else. And a great opportunity arised. One of my buyers told me about a great opportunity at a major department store in their corporate office being open. And I thought that it was amazing. I've been trying to get into that department store for so long. It's a super luxury department store. And that's Saks Fifth Avenue. I could say their name because they're a public company. Not all the companies are public, so I can't always say the name, but yeah. And I went in for the interview, went great. Then I went to the second round, did not so great and didn't get it. I was crushed. Oh my God. I was just like, damn, what did I do wrong? And I'm used to the, you know, I'm pride myself on being a good interviewer. It makes a difference, a huge difference. You have to have that confidence and building that. But then, so I was still at my job. A recruiting agency was like, hey, you know, we have a temporary position opening up at Saks. They're going through a system conversion and you would be there helping the merchants kind of go through that. They're not looking to hire anyone. This is just temporary. Would you be interested? And I was like, damn, or, you know, I've been wanting to get into Saks, but I'm like, I did not want to start my whole career over, like as a temp. I'm like, I've never even been a temp. So I'm just like, to be a temp after I already had something where I was salary and blah, 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 this and a third, I was just like, okay. I ended up taking the position because I've been trying to get into Saks for so long and I really wanted to get into the buying side. And I'll say quickly why I wanted to get into the buying side was because, one, those relationships are going to make or break your brand. And two, because it's the difference of like, okay, what am I really going to do? You know what I mean? In terms of like, do I want to go the buying route? No. I knew that I always wanted my brand, right? But I wanted to know exactly what buyers think of when they're looking at new brands. How do they assess it? What profit margins are they looking for? Because I only knew that for swimwear. And I knew that I wasn't going to do a swim-only brand. So I was like, all right, I want to do buying because I need to get into the mind of a buyer. What are they looking for? What do they get excited about? How can I get into the stores? What email pitches work? What don't? It was basically what I was doing, but on the other side. And then with my latest role in marketing, it was the same kind of situation. But quickly to go back into Saks, I was part of a temp class of 500, which was insane. They were like, you're not going to get hired. I was like, okay, we're going to see if I'm not going to get hired or not. And I worked my ass off there and I made connections with everybody. Everyone ended up loving me there. And I was like, you know what? I'm not only going to make them love me as a person, which I feel like I'm pretty personable and I'm a people's person, but I was like, also, I'm going to work my ass off so that I can secure this job. Two of us out of the 500 got hired, which was insane. It was insane. And then I started there. I started in men's designer shoe division, and I loved that position. Men's designer shoes is a passion of mine. I loved it. It was my longest standing job. I was there for 3.5, almost 4 years. And then an amazing designer company, you know, also I knew that while I'm learning this, I want to be in designer. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't really want to be in contemporary. I really didn't want to be in something that's high volume, like denim or like contemporary shoes or like sport or kids. I didn't want to be in any of that. I knew I wanted to be in designer. So this huge fashion house called and an opportunity came up. And it's like, when they call, you pick up the phone.
That's just part one of Gianni's story. Let's make sure you tune in for part two, where we'll get into the beauty industry and him developing his own brand and blog. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did and believe on the mission we're on, please like, rate, and subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you're using, and share this podcast with your friends and your networks. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Career Cheat Code, and tell us people or careers you would like to see highlighted. See you next week with some more cheat codes. Peace.